Hi, David here, and welcome back to the channel where we're looking at the automatic writings of the early 20th century medium James Paget. In the last video, 111, we looked at quite a long message that James received from his grandmother, Anne Rollins, where she described the part that forgiveness plays in our ability to make progress in spirit. This can mean the ability to forgive ourselves, or the forgiveness that can come from others. But most importantly, it can mean the role of divine love in enabling the forgiveness that comes from God. A lot of what I explained in that last video might seem quite theoretical, so I thought it might help to look at a practical example of the difference divine love makes to the soul. We've seen one example already in video 110, when we looked at what James Paget's wife, Helen, shared with him as to how rapid her own progress had been through sharing in divine love. So it might be worth going back and looking at that one again, keeping in mind what we've now covered about divine love. But in today's video, we're going to look at two fairly short messages that Paget received from his cousin, Laura Burrows. These messages are a little less than 2 years apart. The first one was given to James on March 23rd, 1915, and it reveals that Laura is in a place of darkness in spirit and is seeking James's help. You'll notice that Laura calls him Edward, which is his middle name and was used by his close family. In some of the messages, it gets shortened to Ed, or occasionally to Ned in messages from his wife, Helen. So Laura's first message begins, "I am here, Laura Burrows. Oh, my dear Edward, please do something to help me. I am so unhappy and need help so much. I am in such darkness and pain that I can scarcely see the light of day. I mean the light that enables me to see my surroundings. I am also so lonely and without love or sympathy. I feel that you can help me." There's a lot here, even in just this first paragraph. Although Laura has been able to come forward, and James's spirit band have given her the opportunity to write, she speaks of being in a place of darkness and pain that prevents her from being able to perceive her surroundings properly. So we might think figuratively of a place of spiritual darkness or a lack of understanding or perception, but Laura's words do suggest that there is a visual element here too, at least in terms of how Laura interprets her situation. It certainly sounds like a very lonely place, so it's no surprise that she says she is feeling lonely and unloved. She also says that she can scarcely see the light of day, and then corrects that figure of speech by saying, "I mean the light that enables me to see my surroundings." That's an interesting little correction because it reminds us that the different environments of spirit are not part of our physical universe, so do not rely upon the sun for light and warmth. There is no night and day in spirit. Or perhaps just a continuing day. In response to Laura not being able to see, James asks her if she has seen anyone in spirit who might help her. Laura replies, "Yes, I have seen several beautiful spirits, but I did not believe that they had interest enough in me to help me, and so I turned aside from them. I don't understand why I am in this condition, and no one else has explained it so far. I thought that maybe you might show me some way to get out of this condition. I thought so because I saw other spirits writing to you who are in this darkness as I am, and they said that you had helped them." I mentioned in a previous video that James got into the habit of putting aside one evening each week where he accepted messages from people in spirit seeking help, encouraging them to accept that help from his own spirit band, so as to enhance their awareness and help them perceive more of their situation. So Laura has obviously seen what James is doing and has spoken to some of the people who have been helping as a result of contacting him. At this point, James seems to encourage Laura to look around her to see if she can perceive any of his spirit band or any of the other family members who write to him regularly. And having given her that opening, she then replies, "Why, I see Aunt Nancy and your mother and Helen and your father and others I don't know. How beautiful and happy they look to be. Why are they so beautiful? If only I could be like them. Tell me, why is it, and what has made them so? Oh, how glad I am that I came here. I feel better already. Dear Aunt Nancy, she will love me, and so will Cousin Anne and Helen. I am now going with them. So goodbye, my dear cousin, Laura." Now, we're not told anything in this message as to why Laura is in a condition of darkness, but this contact with her cousin James has somehow enabled her to perceive a little more. Enough, at least, to know that other family members are there and willing to help her. Laura also perceives that these relatives are beautiful and happy, and from the words she uses, they seem much brighter and happier even than she remembers or expects them to be, which suggests there has been some change in them as compared with how they were during their lives in the physical world. She sounds both overjoyed and relieved, but also curious as to why there has been this change in them. All of which is reassuring and interesting, but it also begs the question, why were they not there to meet Laura when she passed over? Many mediums will tend towards reassuring people that everyone is met, no one is abandoned, etc. It's true that no one is abandoned and that help is always ultimately available, but it's not true that everyone is met. And the reason for this in Laura's case may be to do with her spiritual or soul condition at the time. I'm sure many of us have seen a young child who does something wrong and who is so embarrassed and ashamed by it that they just need to crawl away into a little corner by themselves. They don't want anyone even looking at them in their shame, let alone picking them up and trying to comfort them. Anyone trying to intervene just gets a no, go away, leave me alone. And I'm sure some of us can remember having been that child. A child can feel this sense of shame so strongly they can't even bear to be around other people. Adults can too, but as we grow up, we learn ways of behaving that allow us to function socially, even though we might be one of the most awful people on the face of the earth. And we can carry this off because other people just see the body, not the person. A young child doesn't know this yet. So what we see is a much purer soul reaction to having done something embarrassing or shaming. When we pass to spirits, we no longer have the mask of a physical form to hide behind. Other people in spirits see the person, not the body. Knowing this, our soul reaction kicks in. If we pass to spirit as someone who is shamed by their spiritual condition, to the extent that we can't bear other people seeing us, they are not free to intervene against our wishes, as shaped by our state of mind. If we put ourselves in this situation, we put ourselves beyond immediate help from other people in spirit. They must wait to reach out to us, until we reach out for their help, as Laura did in contacting her cousin James to ask for his help. As I say, we don't know from this message the detail of why Laura is in this condition, but she obviously feels it very keenly. In the second message from Laura, 2 years later, we find a much happier person who has made good progress. And this message was delivered on January 19th, 1917. The message begins, "I am here, Laura Burrows. I am glad to be able to write to you again and tell you that since I last wrote to you, I have made much progress and have come into the possession of much more happiness. Dear cousin, I am so glad that I can tell you this, for I know that you rejoice with me in my happiness and the knowledge of what great mercy has come to me. I merely wanted to say this, for it makes me very happy to come to you in this way. At this point, it looks as though James Paget has asked after Laura's husband, because she replies, well, he is in the spirit world, but in a very dark plane and not at all happy. I have been with him some, but have not been able to do him any good, as his old beliefs cling to him and prevent his progress. Sometime we may be able to help him, and we'll try then. Helen has told me he is not my soulmate, and I have met my soulmate very recently. So again, with Laura's husband, we see an example of someone being held back by their own state of mind, and how this prevents help being given. By contrast, as to Laura herself, not only is she in a much happier place, but she has also been introduced to her soulmate. James, being naturally curious, asks about him, and Laura replies, he is in the same sphere with me, and we are very happy together, and we are trying to progress together. I never knew him on Earth. He lived in Pennsylvania and died a long time before I did, and tells me that he had to go through much suffering and darkness before he got into a plane of light. He is a very beautiful spirit, and I could love him, I believe, even if he were not my soulmate. But as he is, you know what our love means. He is looking at me right and heard your question and says his name was Henry W. Spaulding, and he lived in Millville, if you know where that is. I met Henry after I had made some progress and got some of this love in my soul. Helen brought him to me one time and said, Laura, here is a young man who has been very anxious to meet you for some time, and you must not fall in love with him if you can keep from doing so. And she laughed. Well, I suppose I blinked, as mortals used to say, and I did fall in love, as you can imagine, and have been loving him ever since. How we all love Helen for her great kindness and the great good that she does. You just wait until you come over and you will see the most beautiful girl that you ever saw. Henry says that he considers himself very fortunate in having such a cousin, referring here to Paget, and he means it, for he sees the wonder of the great gift that you have and the loving and high spirits that come to you. I must say goodnight now, so with my love, I will stop. Your loving cousin, Laura. Laura has made amazing progress in the 22 months since she first wrote. She sounds like a completely different person, living a very different life. How has she reached this point? Laura describes herself earlier in the message as having received a great mercy, and also as having got some of this love in my soul. Laura is clearly referring to divine love, and the difference in her is the difference it makes. So she gives us a lovely example of what that can look like in an individual life, which pairs nicely with the last video describing divine love. The way Laura talks about having got some of this love is a reminder that becoming at one with God through sharing in divine love is a process. How swift or slow a process it is depends entirely on the individual and the extent to which we each prioritize it through heartfelt prayer. There will be plenty in future videos as to what is meant by that. If that's of interest to you, do keep watching and listening or reading. The other thing you might consider is getting hold of a copy of Alan Ross's book called The New Testament of Spiritualism, which is a selection of the Paget messages that I'm using as the basis for this series of videos, with one or two additions from the full collection of the Paget messages. I put links to the publications in each video description, as well as having them on the channel homepage. I know the title New Testament of Spiritualism might raise a few eyebrows, because spiritualism doesn't have one central text, let alone any kind of scripture. Spiritualism is very much a movement that comes together around the practice of mediumship. But as we work through the messages, you'll see why that title is used for the book. I know also that the title might sound too religious for some people, or too specifically Christian, and I do understand that. It's a perspective I have sympathy with, because I'm very much of the view that inquiry into spirit and the afterlife and communication with people in spirit should be treated as worthy of rational inquiry, rather than being framed in terms of traditional belief systems, Christian or otherwise. Indeed, in this video, we have just looked at two messages showing us the extent to which our beliefs can keep us in darkness and prevent us seeing what's out there. That doesn't necessarily exclude language that has been used to express traditional Christian or other beliefs, so long as there is an underlying truth that can be brought to the surface. Because in doing this, we change what that language is pointing to. In this way, that language becomes a signpost to knowledge that can be explored and verified and made part of both our individual and our shared experience. Like I always say, there's nothing we're not meant to know. Ignore anyone who tells you that this or that is one of God's mysteries, or that you need anyone as an intermediary between you and God. God is not mysterious and is the most eager of all of us to be known. Spirit is God's active energy and therefore something to be explored. If you don't believe in God or don't think God is knowable or just feel a long way from God, learning more about spirit and exploring divine love for yourself is about bridging that gap. So stay with me and take what you can from the videos. At the very least, I hope you manage to enjoy them, even if what you learn doesn't quite sit with you and doesn't seem useful until you yourself pass to spirit. It will still be time well spent. In the next video, this coming Wednesday, we are going to look at a couple more messages James Padgett received from his grandmother, Anne Rollins, in which she tells us more about her experience of seeking divine love. In the meantime, if you've enjoyed this video, like it and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, as it does help to introduce it to others who might be interested. And make sure you click on the bell icon so you get notified when the next video is uploaded. In the meantime, thank you for watching, and I'll see you next time. Take care.